and to find the nearest memorial service. Read about the history of these burial sites and learn what you can do to help end abortion. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue today to look at St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, sections from that letter that the Church gives to us in daily Mass this week. Now, the readings I've been giving are from last week. I've been covering this week. If you want to get a reflection on today's reading, you can go to Sister Ann Shields' program, Food for the Journey, on our website. I just want to take up some of the themes from Colossians that I think are very helpful for us at this time. Today it's going to be Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and following. Another section. Here's St. Paul, after talking about what Jesus has accomplished for us. We ended yesterday by Paul saying that you've been transferred. You've been delivered from the dominion of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of the beloved Son. This is what God the Father has done for us. It's a simple summary of what Christianity is all about in its essence. It's easy for us, I think, to reduce Christianity mostly to a this world reality and experience, where we think of Christianity as a matter of just doing good or being a good person, being a nice person. It's a particular religious way of growing. It's a spirituality. And mostly it's about just be a good person, mind your own business, treat people the way you want to be treated, and that's sort of the essence of it. Any serious expression of it is a private matter, ought to be done privately. And it has a lot to do with us and what we do. You notice in the letters of St. Paul and the other apostles is they're very much involved in doing good works. They're very much involved in doing the deeds of love, that they're living the life of love, the transformed life that Jesus modeled for us and laid down your life for your friend and all that. That's really where the Lord's taking us in terms of how we ought to live here in the world, how we ought to live the new way of living that by the grace of the Holy Spirit we're coming into more fully in our lives. But for St. Paul and for the early church, and the constant teaching of the apostles is remember, 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 remember who you are. Remember what Christ has done for you. Remember what's been accomplished. What is the gospel? What's the heart of the gospel? Keep it alive in you. Let it burn in you like a lamp burning in the night. Let it just be a fire in you. Let it consume your heart and mind. Let it be your constant companion. Let it be your consolation, your comfort. Let it challenge you and convict you and encourage you. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. St. Paul, that's the image. Let it dwell in you. Let it be alive in you. Let your heart and mind be animated by the truth of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you and who you are now in him. This is really key and fundamental for the Christians, what it means to have a renewed and a transformed mind. And you know each day you're walking more fully and more deeply, hopefully, in him. If you fall, you fall. You get up, you repent, you come back. You continue to walk in him. So it's not just a matter of what I do and keeping track of what I do and, okay, I've done some good things for my neighbor. I sort of done my good deed for the day. I've been nice to people. That's all a very truncated, trivial, minimalistic understanding of the call of a disciple. And here's an example now in our reading for today, Colossians 1:15 and following. Paul wants us to know, who is this Jesus Christ whose kingdom we now dwell in? Who is he? So many people today just reduce Jesus to a prophet that can fit into the world. They need to reduce Jesus, empty Jesus of his massive glory and power and significance, and reduce him to a good moral teacher, to a nice psychotherapist, counselor kind of guy, sort of wimpy. Whatever it is, the image that's there, because it's the image that fits what the world demands he be. The world demands that he not be Lord. The world demands that he not have all authority and power over everyone, everywhere. It belongs to him. We have to take that all away so that we can do whatever we want to do in the world. So the world can say, no, This is the place, Earth, this is the place where we all are our own king. We rule. We determine our own truth, power, and reality. We pursue our own goals and ends. We're our own master. That's the world. And so only a Jesus that can fit in that world is the Jesus people want to talk about. But look at Paul. Here's Paul describing who Jesus is. This is the mind of an apostle. He knows the Lord. And it's the root, the foundation of all of his fruitfulness and his life and his freedom, his joy. That's what it is. Here he is. His brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's not just a picture, an image, the icon. He shares the very same identity. We see it's from these passages now that we have the creed. The creed says he's God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He's not just a prophet. He's God, literally incarnate. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. This new creation, he was the firstborn. How? Through the resurrection from the dead. He's the first to rise from the dead. And he's begun the new creation. It's been founded in him. And this is what's going to exist forever, the new creation. The old is going to pass away. It's going to die. So if we're attached and conformed to the old, we're going to die with it. That's a fact. That's why the church, with great urgency and compassion and love, says, flee the wrath to come. Flee conformity to the world. It's been judged. It's going to die. Anything that's not under the lordship of Jesus, is not corresponding to the life of the kingdom, is going to pass away. So the church exists to call everybody in and follow the one who's the firstborn of the new creation, so you too can be born into the new creation. You've got to get there, or you don't have a future. Not a future in glory, anyway. He goes on to say, for in him were created all things in heaven and on earth. Where did everything that we know of come from? It was created, and it was created in Jesus Christ, the Word of God. St. John in the Gospel talks about he's the Logos, he's the Word, right, through whom all things were made. It's a little bit more than just a prophet, isn't it? Everything that's visible and invisible was made, was created in him, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, whether thrones on this earth, whether the principalities and powers of the angels or the fallen angels, everything was made by him and for him. He goes on to say, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Guess what, friends? You were made through Jesus Christ, through his power. You were made for him. Why do you exist? You exist for him. Friends, that's the point of life. If you see that, if you grasp that, you begin to see things like the apostles would say, like St. John, the whole world is in the power of the devil. You hear things like that, at least when I hear them sometimes, instinctively you say, well, boy, that's hyperbole, or that's extreme, or how can that be? This is how it can be. Every person was made for a purpose. They were made for God, for Jesus Christ. We're not made to have our glory in this world. We're not made to primarily to reach all our personal goals. We're not made to live on a pleasure cruise here in the world. What we're made for is him. That's the point. He's come to establish a kingdom, pour out his authority, give us the Holy Spirit to have power over the dominions and the principalities and the powers that are enslaving the human mind and the human will. Oh, come on. Isn't that a little extreme? No. It's actually right on. It's totally accurate. How many people live as if Jesus Christ, God, doesn't even exist? How many people are boldly pounding their chests, saying there is no God, life has no meaning, there's no fundamental cause for all this, there's no purpose in it all? There's a fundamental suppression of that truth, that God has made all things, and they're made for him. And I'm made for him. And I'm made to live, as St. Paul says, for the praise of his glory. That's the purpose of my life. And this is why so many people, this is why we have right now in the United States More than anywhere else in the world, and more than any time in American history, we have more people on antidepressants, more people struggling with suicide and depression and all of this overeating, you name it. Things are not so good. People feel empty, lost, depressed, frightened, isolated, insecure, self-condemning. It's there in people's lives because we don't know where we are, because we're fighting against principalities and powers. And we're not living a life according to for which we were made. And if not, we're never going to be happy. So we're made through him and for him. He's before all things. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is eternal. And him all things hold together. Literally, Jesus is holding all things together. Not just the church, but he's holding you together and me together. He's holding the universe together, all things seen and unseen. This is the kind of power Jesus Christ possesses. And in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. This is really important. I mean, this all is. But you see, he's the firstborn. In all things, he must be preeminent. All things. That means your life. Is he preeminent in your life? Is he number one? Is he the Lord? Do you live to please him? Be honest. Look at your time. How do you spend your time? Look at your treasure. How do you spend your money? Look at your mind. Look at your sex life. Look at your hobbies. Look at what you do. Do you live under the lordship of Jesus? Or do you throw him a bone on Sundays and basically live apart from him as Lord in your life? He goes on, "For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell." The fullness of God. All the fullness, pleroma is the word. All the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, to reconcile all things for him. Jesus Christ bled and died to take away sin so that you and I could be set free from sin's slavery, which is an existence separated from God in a rebellion against God, no way out. He goes on to say, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. Peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus Christ isn't just some moral teacher. He's not just a nice guy. He's the Lord. He's the Almighty. All things were made by him and for him. And if you're going to reach your destiny, and I'm going to reach mine, we must live for the Lord. And he must be preeminent in our life in every way. That's our only hope. That's our joy. That's our freedom. And that's his gift to you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you my new booklet called Welcome the Spiritual Gifts. I wrote the booklet in response to a series of radio programs I did this past year on spiritual gifts. And the big response to